Okay, so we're in Parakhes, where the Rambam begins developing his conception of Olam Haba. And as we discussed, the essence of his idea is that the greatest good for a person is to be engaged in this knowing of God, and that exists in Olam Haba, and that there is no way all the pleasures we have on earth, the enjoyments, all that good or reward that we perceive here is incomparable to what takes place in Olam Haba. Ultimately, nothing goes with you other than your intellect, meaning the essential you is what continues into Olam Haba, and it's a natural result of death. Meaning, just because your body died doesn't mean that the non-physical part of you ceases to exist. And finally, that if someone, what's kares? Kares is when a person does not get the opportunity to go into Olam Haba. What worse punishment could there be for a human being who, naturally speaking, desires to know God to not get that opportunity? Okay. So he continues in Halacha Zayin by saying, "V'kama kama David, right? V'hatava l'chayel amba, right?" So we see from David HaMelech the desire he had for the world to come. Shneimar lulei ha'amanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem be'eretz Chayim. Right. So that's an expression of David's just passionate desire to want to understand and, in a sense, experience what Olam Haba is. Kvar hodionu achacham l'marishonim shetovas Olam Haba ein koach ba'adam la'siga al boreha. Right. So our the chachamim, the sages, have explained to us that the good of the world to come, it is impossible for us to actually understand it. Meaning, it's built into our existence is the inability to ever truly understand what Tovos Olam Haba is. Ben Yodea Golov Yofel, right? That's my Allah Kodesh Baruch Hu Levado. Only God, so to speak, meaning when we're alive here on earth, only God can really appreciate it. We lack the means of being able to ever truly understand it. Ushakola Tovos Shemis Navim Behem Anavim Lisrael, right? And all the prophecies the prophets speak to the Jewish people, Einan Ella Ludvarm Shibaguf, Shenen and Yisrael Limosa Mashiach. Okay, so now he's going to shift over now and talk about when the Nevi'im give prophecy, and this is his transition into Yimosa Mashiach, okay, which is going to be the next topic he takes up. So when the Nevi'im speak about the reward and the good that the Jewish people will get, so to speak, let's say in the end of days, if it's in Zechariah or Yechezkel, etc., that's referring to Yimosa Mashiach, okay? And those are physical benefits, okay? So without giving away the farm yet, Rambam is going to get into a sense of what Yimosa Mashiach is like, but the key thing is that it is rooted in physical pleasure. So he says, Elos Varm Shebeguf Shenenim Hen Yisrael Yimosa Mashiach Bizman Shetoshuv HaMemshal Yisrael, okay? So all the great things in the Nevi'im talk about, right, the great rewards and the good, is all referring to physical existence in Yimosa Mashiach. But, Aval Tovas Chaya Olam Haba, when it comes to the world to come, ein la erech v'dimyon. Okay, there's no end to it. I mean, there's nothing, there's no comparison. There is no way to ever give words to it, right? V'lo damu ha'neviim, right? Kedesh shelo yifaschu osa v'dimyon. And the neviim don't even speak about it, right? Because in doing so, it would let you think that there's some mechanism to actually understand it. Hu shi yishayo amar ein lo ra'asa elokim zol secha yasen mechakelo. Klomar hatova shelo ra'asa osa ayin. Navi v'lo ra osa el Elohim, right? So we also a navi v'lo ra osa el Elohim. So that even the navi himself can never understand what that good is. So he's emphasizing that this incredible existence that he's talking about, this idea that you go to Olam Haba and what you experience there, it is an impossibility for a human to understand it on earth. Asa osa Elohim la'adam shemechakelo. Okay, Amr Chacham kol navim kulan lo nivu elimos Mashiach v'Olam Haba ayin lo ra osa Elohim zlosecha. So again, when we look at all the words of the prophets about the what's going to happen to the Jewish people and all the good and the reward, etc., all that is referring to Messianic era and has nothing to do with Olam Haba. Okay, and then finally he ends off by saying Lachaches Zeshakaru Osu Chachamim HaOlam Haba. Right, so why do they call it Olam Haba? Lo Imnei Sheino Matzui Ata. Right, Vizeh Olam Oved Arachak Yova Osu Olam. Right, so he wants to emphasize that it's not because it doesn't exist right now. Right? In other words, it's not that what happens is there is this world and then there's the creation of a different world. Okay? And that's not how it works. Okay? So meaning you don't need the destruction of this world, so to speak, to enter that world. Ain't a davar kein. Ela harehu matzo yiva omein. Shnei ma'asher tzafanti recha palta. V'lo karu olam haba elam neisha osan achayim ba'in lo la'adam achar chayil amazeh. It's called Olam Haba because it is the life after the life you have in this earth. Shanu Kaima Baba Guf and Nesher, Vizio Nimsa the whole Adam Rishona. Now that's a critical point, because what he's trying to emphasize is that you shouldn't think that that Olam Haba is, I'm going to say this very carefully, is like a miraculous supernatural phenomenon, meaning in the very creation of the universe, right? In the creation of the universe in its totality, included in that was the creation of Olam Haba, all right? It's not that, and therefore it's a natural part of existence. It's not that there's two realms, so to speak, and then the destruction of realm A, then God creates realm B. Rather, he's emphasizing that it's one overall system. And that's why he can always say, naturally, right, you can go from point A to point B. Whereas others argue and want to say, like the Ramban, for example, would emphasize that, no, there are realms that God creates that are, what do you call it, that are post-death. So that's a big difference between the Rambam and other positions. Okay? Okay. So now the Rambam has to deal, right? I mean, he took care of what the Nevi'im say, okay? Now he has to move back and deal with, so to speak, the Torah. Okay, and I'll show you what he means in a second. In Parak Tes Halach Aleph, he says, Ma'achar shenoda shematan scharan shel mitzvos, that tova sheniskala, im shamarnu derech Hashem akasav Torah, hi chayol aholam abba. Now once you know that the greatest good and the greatest reward for the mitzvos is olam haba, that existence, shenemar l'man yitav lach v'harach tayamim, so once you know that's the case, and we know the worst thing that could ever happen to an individual is, like for Russia, is to not have that opportunity to experience Olam Haba, to have a cessation of existence. So he says, but what are you going to do with the fact that you find throughout the entire Torah, all right, im tishmu yagia lachem kach, then lo tishmu yikra eschem kach. The Torah never speaks of any reward or punishment outside of this world. And that's a problem. Because if Olam Haba is really the ultimate greatest good, it's an amazing meaning that the Torah, when it promises all the good or bad that's going to happen to us, and the brachos and klalos, that's all physical. There's no indication of the reward being somehow outside of the physical world. It's all rooted in the physical world. This kagon, sova v'rav, umilchama v'shal machus v'shiflus v'shivas arts v'galz v'tzacha ma'asev ha'asado shar kol devei bris. All the things in the covenant we have with God, war, peace, etc. All those things are rooted in the physical world. Kol osan advarim emesayu v'yiyu, right? Uvizman shan osim kol mitzvos haTorah yagiulenu tovus olam hazeh kulan. Now there's no doubt that if we follow the Torah, right, these things will happen to us. In other words, the brachos are set up in a way where, well, if we follow the Torah, the natural world responds, okay? And if we don't follow the Torah, then naturally speaking, these klalos, these bad things will happen to us. The afa pichein, ein osan atovos, heim sof matan scharan shal mitzvos. V'lo osan leros, heim sof anakama shenokim overakal mitzvos. But we have to understand that the good that you get, right, through the reward of doing the mitzvos, that isn't the ultimate, okay, what it called, good. It's good, but it's not good to the. It's not exponential good. Meaning, there's a qualitative difference between the reward we get in this world and what happens in Olam Haba. So yes, the Torah is talking about us being rewarded in this world, being rewarded, but it's only talking about in our existence in this world. There is a system set up that we get rewarded if we follow the mitzvot and punished subsequently if we don't. But that doesn't take away from the idea that the greatest good is what exists in Olam Haba. This is Elokachu Hechra Kol Dvarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasam lanu Torah zu eitz chaim hi, v'chol ha'osa kol ha'kasuba v'yodo dea gemura nechona, zocha ba'lachayim l'abba. But what we know is God gave us the Torah, right, the tree of life, and if we follow what it says in the Torah, right, we'll therefore merit to be in Olam Haba. Well, if you go to Masa of Rov Chachmasa, who's zocha, and it's due to what your stature insofar as your actions and your wisdom, that's what creates the merit. V'hiftichanu b'Torah, okay, she'im nase osa b'simcha v'tovas nefesh, right, v'negeh b'chachmasa tamid, right, and God promises in the Torah that if we follow God's word, happy, completely following our minds, etc., that she yasser mena called v'ra'am mona mosanu melas sosa, kagon choli mochama v'rov k'yotze behen. So God will remove from us all those things that will prevent us from being engaged in worshiping him well, like war and famine, okay? Now that's a critical point, another critical point the Rambam's making here, and it's important to again, focus on this as well. What the Rambam is saying is that, what is the objective of the rewards, right, that God gives us in the Torah for following the mitzvot. What's its ultimate objective? The ultimate objective is to serve as a way to remove obstacles from us, right, and to so we can increase our worship and of God and performance of mitzvot, which would then lead to a greater schar in Olam Haba. That's the equation the Rambam has set up. And it kind of makes sense, because it's not just talking about milchama. Like, milchama is a good example, like war. So what war does is, not obviously people die, but war is a situation, it's a state, or rav, or famine. These are states of existence that prevent someone from being able to exist in the highest possible level. So the greatest reward we could get in this world, right, is the ability to worship God, right, in a better way. Which means that the physical world is not, and we know this from Hilchos Deos, the physical world shouldn't be looked upon as an obstacle, but rather, if we could focus our attention and our energies simply on worship of God and not worry about the physical world, that's the greatest thing that could be for man, for humanity in this world. Okay, so that's the point, and he's going to say this also by Yemos Mashiach, but that's the point he's driving home here, that the rewards, right, are there to really create a situation to ensure, to help us in our, insofar as our worship of God's concerned. So it's not that I did a mitzvah and now I get, let's say, what do you call it, a brand new car. It's that I get a mitzvah, and let's say as an example, I'm sorry, it's like I get, I if I do a mitzvah, so what happens as a result? So now let's say, what do you call it, the reward is that I don't have to plant, hold on one second. So as I was saying, when it comes to the physical world, If the obstacles, let's say for example, if I do a mitzvah, it means that somehow the there's less work I have to do insofar as farming is concerned. Okay, that means I could spend more time engaged in worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would therefore increase my level, and I get a better chelik olam haba as a result. So he says, "V'yashpil lanu kol tovos tamachzikos es yadenu la'asos haTorah kagon sova v'shalom riboy kesev v'zav," and all those good things like money and satiation and peace and security are all there to strengthen our following of the Torah. So we should never look at rewards from doing mitzvos as the end. We should look at it as, oh, well, now I have something that can give me the opportunity to learn even more Torah and to engage in more mitzvos. This is a kadesh lo nasok kol yamina bedvarim shaguf tzarech lahem el neshev pnuyim limbo bechachma v'lasos ha-mitzvah kadesh nizke l'chay olam haba. So it's a very nifty theory the Rambam has. If all the good in the world is there to leave me available, as he's saying, to be able to engage in wisdom and follow the Torah and do the mitzvos, then I'm insured to have a share in the world to come. So he, in a sense, he circumvents the issue of the Torah not mentioning Olam Haba by saying that, well, you can see the idea of Olam Haba in the sense of why God gives us these rewards. It would make no sense for God to just give us lots of, like, let's say, wealth, when we know wealth is the kind of thing that can be the demise of a person, right? Wealth leads to ego gratification. You know, if he gives us an abundance of food, that can lead to gluttony. Those things are traps sometimes. So why would these things be rewards in the Torah? Oh, they're a reward because if you relate to them the right way, they're rewards because they free you up to be able to engage in more chachma and more mitzvos. And then if you do that, bam, you get your entrance into Olam Haba. Right, but let's say the Torah warns us that if we leave the Torah and we get involved in stupidity and nonsense, okay, right, then God will remove from us all the good the world has to offer. Then what God will do is the physical world will be removed from us. It'll become an obstacle. And when that happens, right, then your ability to worship God becomes compromised. And therefore, you don't get into Olam Haba. So the explanation of all the curses and blessings is as on this path. Kolomar. Im avatem es Hashem besimcha, ushmartem darcho mashpil lachem abrachos elu, umarchig akolos mikem, achetiu penuyim lehischachim mitorav lasok ba kadesh tisku lechayim olam alchay olam haba. It's a simple equation. If you worship God appropriately, do what you're supposed to do, the brachos will come to you, which ultimately are there to free up more of your energy, so to speak, to be able to engage in more Torah, right? And then you get into Olam Haba. Right? V'itzof l'chala olam shekula tov v'tarach yomim olam shekula aruch v'nim satem zuchin l'shtei olamos. Then you'll enjoy this world. You'll get the best that this world has to offer. And of course, olam haba. L'chaim tovim ba'olam hazeh ha'meviyim l'chai olam haba. Right? She'im lo yikne po chachma masim tovim ein lo b'ma yiske. Because if a person doesn't acquire wisdom and doesn't do good deeds on this in the physical existence, then how else could he possibly get into olam haba? Right? Okay. So again, he's emphasizing the brachos are set up in a way to ensure that we have the ability to get into olam haba. Otherwise, without the means of being able to do mitzvos and learn, etc., and be involved in the chachma properly, how would we ever get into olam haba? There has to be a zechus there. There has to be something we gain, some merit that we have to be able to get in there. Vim azavtem es Hashem, v'shgisa machal mishne v'znus v'dom alahem. And of course, if we do bad things, maybe aleichem kol kolos elu umeser kol brachos ach yichlu yumechem b'vehala v'fachad. And then what will God do? He'll bring upon the curses. He'll remove the brachos until we live in a state of fear and dread. V'lo yalechem le ponoi v'lo guf shalim lasos amitzos. And we won't have the ability. Right, we won't have an open mind. We won't be free to be able to involve the mitzvos. Kadesh tovdu mechaya olam haba. And then what's going to happen? We will not be able to. We will lose out on the world to come. V'nimsa shavatem shnei olamos, and we'll lose out on two worlds. Bizman shadam tari ba'olam hazeh becholi v'machav v'ryavon eino misasek lo b'chachma v'lo mitzvos shein zoch lechaya olam haba. So when you're suffering in this world with sickness and war and famine and stuff like that, by definition, you're not going to be able to be involved in chachma. And if you can't be involved in chachma and mitzvos, then you can't get into the world to come. Okay, that is one of the foundational beliefs of the Rambam and how he understands the brachos and klalos in the Torah. Again, meaning they're not an end in and of themselves. Their brachos and klalos serve the purpose ultimately of getting us to olam haba or not. Okay, and we should never. And even though the Rambam is moda, you should enjoy the physical world, right? He definitely acknowledges that's the case. You shouldn't be poor. At the same time, notice. The purpose of wealth, right, is for a person to free up more time to be able to learn, right? Not an end in and of itself, okay? Long halacha by the Rambam, but that's his answer to why the Torah, or what the nature of the brachos and klolos in the Torah are. The brachos and klolos never refer to in and of themselves olam haba, but they refer to the path that is necessary for a person to be able to get there, okay? Now he says in halacha beis, umibnei zeh, because of this, Nisavu kol Yisrael neviyeim v'chachameim limosa Mashiach. Okay, now here comes the transition. It's because of this that all the great Jews, the prophets, and the wise and the sages, they all desired the Messianic era. Why? Kadesh yanuchu memalchios she'ena manichos lahem la'asok b'Torah v'mitzvos kehugan. Okay, v'yimso lahem margoa v'yirbu b'chachma kadi yisku l'chayim olam haba. So now he's starting to paint a picture of what Yemosa Mashiach is. If you think about it, if you take the Rambam's theory in Alcha Aleph, right, and apply it to, and what he said at the end of the previous parak, you can get a sense of what Yemosa Mashiach would be like according to the Rambam. It's going to be a state of physical existence, right, where the entire physical world operates in a manner to simply free your mind up to learn Torah and be involved in mitzvos. Okay, that is the ultimate, there's the utopian state for humanity, but certainly for the Jewish people, would it be to be in a state where the physical world is naturally in line with your needs without putting in any effort so you can focus only on Torah. That's going to be the vision of Yemosa Mashiach according to the Rambam. Okay? So he says, Lefishib Osan Yamim, Tirbeh Hadeya Vechachma Vemes. Right? Because in those days, what's going to happen? There's going to be a preponderance of wisdom and intellect going around. Meaning, I always say this in a joking way, but what's Yemosa Mashiach going to be like? When you pick up the paper in the morning, it's going to be filled with Divrei Torah. And the conversations you have with your family are going to be talking about Torah. And what do you call it? When you go to work, you're going to be talking about Torah. Meaning, so much of our lives are going to be wrapped around the idea of being involved in chachma and wisdom. Because we don't have to worry about things. We don't have the threat of war or famine or any of these other things that can lead to insecurities, which draws us away, draws our attention away from this most important activity. So he says, V'emesh enemar ki mola arts dea es Hashem. V'enemar lo yomdu ish es achiv ish es rehu. The Nemar Vahasirosias, Leiv Ha'evim, Mibisrachem. Nesha Oso HaMelech, okay, now comes who Mashiach is, because that king, Sheyamor Mizera David, because the king who will now rise from the lineage of David HaMelech, Baal Chachma Yeh, Yeser Mishlomo. Okay, so now this is important. He will be wiser, okay, than Shlomo HaMelech, okay? So he'll be a wiser person than Shlomo. The Navi Gadol who Karl Moshe Rabbeinu. And he'll also be a great prophet close to Moshe. Notice he can't be greater than Moshe, okay? Ulefikach Yilmad Kol Adam V'yora Osam Derech Hashem. Because of his tremendous wisdom, okay, as well as his prophetic ability, those two things together will allow him now to teach the people and show them the proper path to God. Okay, viavo kol goyim l'shamo, and all of the other nations of the world will come to listen to him. Shneimar v'hayaba acharis amim nochun yahar beis Hashem b'rosh haharim. Now think about it. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes when I will discuss this with someone, they'll say, "Wow, I can't imagine the non-Jews of the world coming to hear what this melech has to say," right? And my response is, I can't imagine the Jews of the world uniting together and listening to what this guy has to say. Let's get this first step down, which is the idea of us, Yilmod Kol Ha'am, that the entire Jewish people will unite and recognize this person, right, as the Mashiach, right? And notice the Rambam is not talking about a person coming in doing magic tricks or, you know, what it called, any other miraculous things. Yes, he has to be a prophet, right? But the point is that the just to conceive for a second this idea of an actual philosophical unity of the Jewish nation and accepting this person, this individual, as the one to lead us forward, that's a very, very, very challenging concept to think of. So like I always say, let's first see how Bnei Yisrael will unite in order for this to come about. Okay? So, right. V'sov kol schar kulo v'atov achrona she'en la'hefzek v'geron hu chayelam haba. But the ultimate reward, okay, is going to be where is obviously olam haba, right? There's nothing more rewarding than that. Aval yimosa mashiach hu ha'olam hazeh, right? V'olam kimin haga holech, okay? And this is, again, an ikar part of his theory. That what happens in Olam Haba, that's all, in a sense, doesn't follow, I'll put it this way, the laws of physics, okay? The laws of physics don't apply in Olam Haba. So your existence can be eternal, right? The ideas of entropy and stuff like that don't exist there. But Yemosa Mashiach is completely natural. Olam kimin hago holech. There is nothing supernatural about what takes place in Yemosa Mashiach, right? So he'll explain more about. But it's not like lions start talking and oranges are like the size of watermelons. No. Everything operates based on the normative laws of nature. Okay? Eloshal Machos Tachzol Yisrael. But what's going to change? That sovereignty, or to be the kingship, will return to the Jewish people, meaning that everyone will recognize the Mashiach as being the king of the world, so to speak. Okay? L'kvar Amru Chacham Rishonam Ein Bo Ha'olam Hazeh L'Mosa Mashiach Elosh Yavod Malchus Bilvad. And that's why the Chachamim say, right, that the only unique thing about Yemosa Mashiach in the natural world is this change now to what it called, to back to Israel or Bnei Yisrael or this one individual being the Melech of the whole world. That's really it. Okay. So the Rambam, and he spends more time, he's going to get more into Yemosa Mashiach. Now, in Hilchos Malachim, that's where he really expands on the theory. And there's some nuanced differences between what he says in Tshuva and what he says over there. But again, the key point according to the Rambam is Yemosa Mashiach, don't look at Yemosa Mashiach as a supernatural era. Rather, it's just a natural utopian ideal state of human existence. And that's what we, what do you call it? That's what we're misavit for. That's what we look forward to. Yeah, go ahead, Ron.